Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from my home near Branson, Missouri. And we're talking about the revelation of the glory and how it came to me. For recently the Lord has said, after those many years ago, when it came to me as a revelation, He's recently told me, go back and pick it up again, get it in your spirit again and talk about it. For in 2014, the church must don glory. And so in that Sunday school class at the Friends Church, in about 1973, they elected me to be the teacher. We had about 8 adults there. There was also an older adult class. The whole church was only about 20 adults. So every Sunday I taught the good word of God I'd learned in the lessons I had added for Brother Kenneth E. Hagin the previous week. And in the move of the Spirit that was so thrilling in those days, it was the charismatic move, the class grew from 8 to 200 and moved from the choir loft to fill the entire auditorium. Dr. Hagin based his ministry on the written word of God and being led by the Spirit of God. Two things, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. He walked with the Lord in close personal fellowship, and it was his aim to conduct the ministry God called him to in obedience to the Lord's leadings. About this time, he was impressed of the Lord that it would behoove him to study all the scriptures on the glory. He did so. And from time to time, as the Lord led, he preached on the glory of God. He usually began the message by simply reading the scriptures which describe God's glory in manifestation from the Old Testament through the New. Now, in those days, we didn't have a computer that we could just type in the word glory, hit return, and we got every scripture in the Bible with a glory. No, you had to search them out. So he searched them all out, and then after you searched them out, you had to type them out. I'm sure he didn't type them out himself. My daughter Shelley did a lot of his typing. Doris Moyer, I don't know who would have done it, but somebody did his. He typed it out for him on sheets of paper. And then he chose the scriptures, and I would watch him, you know. I'd be sitting there in the audience. I was the editor, and I'm always looking and listening for something to put into print. And he would, like, jump a little bit up there on the platform, which I knew that the Spirit had moved upon him. And then he'd start fishing in the back of his Bible case for this list of scriptures. And he would usually just stand up and start to read them. He would begin, you know, in the Old Testament with the glory of God upon the mountain, the glory of God in the tabernacle, the glory of God in the temple. And he would just start reading and go right on through. Sometimes he'd make it as far as Acts chapter 7, where Stephen looked into the heavens and saw the glory of God. But there would always be an unusual presence of God accompanying this sermon. In the Bible, in the scriptures he read, sometimes the glory of God took the form of a bright cloud, as in the Old Testament. Like a wave, it would roll across the congregation, as Brother Hagin read. And signs and wonders would follow as God confirmed his word. Inspired by the evidently supernatural touch upon this subject, as Brother Hagin preached, and led by the Spirit, I'm sure, I received a thought that affected the rest of my life and ministry. Here's the thought. If it would behoove him to study these scriptures, it would behoove me. So I determined to study the glory. About the same time, I made another decision. Our rapidly growing Sunday school class included many new believers, unfamiliar with the overall plan of God. So I decided for our Sunday school classes to begin at Genesis and take an overview of God's plan of redemption. The two studies so merged that I came to see the Bible as the story of the glory. For a few years, I experienced a most wonderful Holy Spirit-guided course of learning. It was even interspersed with visions, which brought precious insight into the glory of His plan. At the time that I wrote the book, The Blood and the Glory, I had been on a 20-year-long study of, meditation on, preaching about, yearning and watching for the glory of God. And here is a condensed offering of that revelation. Now, I told you that we went back to the book of Genesis. From the start of our Sunday school class journey, beginning at the beginnings, light shined upon questions I had had since childhood but was afraid to ask. Why did God make the devil anyway? Didn't He know He was going to cause me all this trouble? How old is Earth? How long has man lived on it? Is science right? Are the preachers right? Well, then too, in this time, remember I'm hearing Brother Hagin teach, and I'm going to talk to you about a pre-Adamic civilization. I will not be dogmatic about that, but they enlighten me as to our ability always to triumph in Christ Jesus over the devil. Brother Hagin too believed these things. He said, I'm not dogmatic about them. And Brother Hagin said, I'm not even going to be pupmatic about them. But I do, it satisfies something in me. So, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Only God could sum up so much in so few words. For everything the Bible's opening verse includes would fill volumes the world could not contain. What it does not include is Genesis 1:2, the second verse. And the second verse reads, And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. God did not create the earth without form and void. That state of things came later. The original language of the Bible reveals this to us. Now, you know that the Bible is written in Hebrew, the Old Testament. And the Hebrew words, which have been translated without form and void, are the rhyming Hebrew words, tohu va bohu. A Hebrew lexicon defines them like this. Tohu, formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness, chaos, waste. Bohu, emptiness. Va is simply and. It's a conjunction, and. Tohu, va, bohu. You know that God did not create earth a formless, confused, empty, chaotic mess. Such a creation would not meet the biblical criteria for God's work. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:4, God's work is perfect. Psalm 111:3, God's work is glorious. Well, you certainly wouldn't make a perfect, glorious place and then say, oh, look at it, it's tohu va bohu, meaning an empty, chaotic wasteland. I was once teaching this at a Bible school in Munich, Germany, and a German woman helped me with the definition of this phrase. Her eyes lit up with understanding when I said the Hebrew words tohu va bohu. We know what tohu va bohu means, she spoke out loudly. We use that saying. We got it from the Jews. It's like this. You cleaned your house perfectly. It is spotless. Then you walk down the hall and open the door to your teenager's room, and you scream, this place is tohu va bohu, clean it at once. No. God did not create earth a formless, confused, empty, chaotic mess. Such a creation would not meet the biblical criteria for God's work of perfect and glorious. The Bible provides its own commentary on tohu vabohu. There are two passages where these very words are used, and they give us further revelation to the first two verses in the Bible. The first passage is Isaiah 45:18, and it tells us that God did not make earth tohu. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain, King James says. But that word is tohu. He created it not tohu. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. He specifically tells us that he did not create it in that tohu state. God created earth in a state of perfect, glorious perfection. Planet earth fell into the chaotic ruin described in the Bible's second verse. The Hebrew word translated was in Genesis 1:2 is very enlightening. The lexicon gives the basic meaning of this verb as come to pass, become, be, happen, occur, came to pass. With the meaning of so it came to pass, the King James translates the same word, and it was so. In many places, the King James translates this word, and it came to pass. So we could read the first two verses of the Bible like this. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth became without form and void. Tohu vabohu. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. E.W. Bullinger's comments in the Companion Bible state it like this. Earth was not created tohu, Isaiah 45:18, but it became tohu, Genesis 1:2 and 2 Peter 3:5-6. Something catastrophic happened between the first and second verses of Genesis. Millions, perhaps billions of years lie between them. Someone has said, as long as true science requires. God created Adam around 6,000 years ago. Yes, man was created 6,000 years ago. But Earth, I believe, is much older. Science now estimates it to be more than 4 billion years old. And tomorrow, we'll talk about the day the dinosaurs died. All of this is in my book, The Blood and the Glory, which we're offering to you this week as a special radio offer for $7. You can write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. You can go online to billybrim.org, or you can call us at 1-800-972-3447, 1-800-972-3447, and ask for the radio offer, the book, The Blood and the Glory. Shalom.